Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grillin' mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and Barbecue Bob, I think spring might have sprung finally here in Michigan. Last weekend and throughout this week, man, we were having snowstorms, and it was lows in the 20s and highs in the low 30s, and you know, this weekend, we're sniffing 60 degrees, so I am ready, man. I'm Jop. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
I am, too.
Yeah.
So welcome to the show. On the East Coast, they got even worse weather than we did, so if you feel bad, I think they're still digging out there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I spent the week down in Tennessee, moved my kids to Knoxville, my oldest daughter and her husband and the two grandbabies, and we had gorgeous 70-plus weather, sunny, and Knoxville is a pretty town anyway. But we were getting all sorts of texts from the kids back here and everybody. It was like sounds like ice and all kinds of havoc.
It was just nasty. I mean, we had a couple ice storms, and it was weird because 20 miles south or 20 miles north of where we were,
nothing.
It was nothing or snow, right? But you're just in that strip where the temperatures was just right, and you get a half an inch of ice on everything. But, you know, we made it. We made it through. You know, we're grilling guys. We make it happen. But so Knoxville, when you were down there, that's Tennessee. They do some barbecue down there.
Oh,
did you run into any of that?
I did. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of barbecue shacks around that place. We went to a cool place. A lot of them combine burgers and barbecue. You know, burgers are huge in Knoxville.
Okay.
Just my observation.
Yeah.
It seems like that's like just a really big thing. And I guess they are everywhere, but the kind of custom burger places or a restaurant that's a burger place.
Right. Yeah, that specializes in, you can have, 100 different toppings on a burger or whatever and combinations thereof. But anyway, today we want to talk a little bit about large chunks of meat. And no, we're not talking about Barbecue Bob specifically, but we're going to talk about large chunks of meat that we can put on the grill. But we get a lot of questions about that from our listeners and our Facebook friends and such that, you know, it's one of the toughest things to do to not get the parts of it overcooked and other parts of it undercooked. We often refer to a slower cooking process to get the big chunks of meat done, but it doesn't always have to be that way. So we're going to dive into that a little bit later in the show, but I see you made a note here about some Kentucky beer that you might have ran into when you were in Knoxville.
When we went to maybe Gulf Shores or somewhere last year.
Oh, okay. It wasn't on this trip.
Last year, I spent the night in Louisville, and I had a Kentucky bourbon barrel ale.
Okay.
And I fell in love with it. Well, this time on the way down to Knoxville, we stopped in Lexington. And it just so happens that that's where that brewery is.
Oh, okay.
So I loaded up on it, and I had every intention of stopping on the way home when I had more room in my car, but we were beating it to get home, and I didn't bother. But I did manage to pick up a few four-packs, and I picked up it's a phenomenal beer, first of all. It's called Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale.
Okay.
And it's just a fantastic golden malty beer that I think about anybody who likes beer would like. But while I was shopping for that, I found another one called Cougar Country.
Okay.
No, Cougar Bait. It was called Cougar Bait.
Yeah.
So I did buy a six-pack of that. You're going to try some of that.
They used to call you that, too, when you were a younger man, right?
You're the single guy, so right, yeah. I'm going to say there's a six-pack you're going to be trying.
My wife, I'm divorced, sadly, but I am. But my wife was 9 years older than me, so maybe I was cougar.
I think you still are, to be honest with you.
Right.
And of course, on the way back, I was going through Ohio. I had to stop at Skyline Chili.
Yeah.
And get a five-way.
I love that place, man.
Love it.
Every time you get near it, your car just has to do the pull.
Well, it goes back to when I worked in Cincinnati back in the 80s, you know. And I that was the local thing. They all bragged about it, and they took me there every time I was in town. And it just got to be kind of a tradition. And it's honestly, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. And it's basically a bowl of spaghetti with Cincinnati chili on it. And Cincinnati chili typically doesn't come with beans, and it's real brown. They put cocoa and coffee in it, and it's just a strange profile, but it works. It's really good. So a five-way is you can build it however you want, but the noodles is one, the sauce is one, the beans is one, and the cheese is another, and then you top it all off with onions, and that's the five.
Right.
So you go in and say one, two, three, four, five-way.
I see.
And I get the five-way, and then you put hot sauce on it, and they put little oyster crackers around it because the spaghetti is usually dripping wet when they put it on your plate. And it's really a Cincinnati tradition, and I can't go through that.
Does Maureen like it as well as you do?
She's learning to.
She's learning
to. She got a couple of their chili dogs. And the wonderful thing about this franchise is they're people. When you walk in, everyone's happy. They all say hi to you. They serve you quick. I mean,
sounds like Sobey Meats here in West Michigan.
Yeah,
same thing. Just, yeah,
it is very similar.
Right.
You can just feel the great feelings in the atmosphere. You know the. But on a more serious note, I want to send out a little prayer for one of our members of the board, Big Paulie. Had to go into surgery a few days ago, and he's having a tough time. So. We want to include him in our prayers out there in Grillin' Land.
Right. Similar with our producer, Brian. His father's having some challenges right now. So
yes.
We lift that up a little bit as well, because these are all guys that are part of the Grillin' Guys family. And we want to make sure that we're taking care of those guys.
Absolutely. When our producer is under stress, we don't like that. So we're hoping for a speedy recovery for Mr. Fongers.
So on a much lighter note, I had an opportunity to make chicken breast sandwiches on the grill, and I did a couple things, and it turned out really well. It was one of those, going to try this, got some of this, some of that.
Mm-hmm, fun.
But went and bought a focaccia bread, right, the loaf, and cut it in half, put some EVO, some garlic EVO on it, threw that on the grill to get some grill marks on it, crisp it up a little bit, spread some avocado on there, put the chicken breast on, and then some fresh sliced tomato. And a little bit of horseradish ranch dressing on top of that. And then covered that chicken the last minute or two that it was on the grill with a piece of provolone. And set that on there. And it was just a fresh, crispy, nice bite, great feel sandwich, man. And I was like, wow, that turned out pretty good. And
nice.
It was just because I had some stuff around, right? And the avocado's starting to get a little soft.
Right.
And I'm like,
good time
I
got to
do
it.
Something with this.
So the avocado sit on the chicken while the chicken was melding?
Yeah, while the cheese was melting over top of it. Yeah.
So, beautiful.
Yeah, oh, it was good. It was really good.
That's a good way to glue down your avocado slices, too.
So it doesn't slide around, right? Yeah. Put that focaccia bread on there. The tomato made it a little slippery. Oh, wait, I forgot. I put bacon on there, too. I put
there
a couple strips of bacon
now
on there.
It sounds, now I'm ready for one. You didn't bring one in, I noticed.
No, I did, but I already ate it. Yeah, that was last night for dinner. But, yeah, that was kind of cool. I mean, every once in a while, you just, you know, you get a wild hair, and you're I'm going to try this. And
plus, don't you just kind of get a picture in your mind? You see a few things in the fridge, and you go, let's see, A, B, C, D, E. I think we're there. I'm going to do it. And I mean, every now and then, it just does not work.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I've had my failures.
You know that.
I had that happen a couple weeks ago on something, and I unfortunately made a bunch of it. And
right.
So everybody's like, yeah, not your best day, Dad.
Right. Well, you know what? You have them as a grilling guy. You can't hit a home run every time you're at the plate. It just doesn't happen.
No.
It just doesn't happen. But coming up next, we're going to dive into some Chunks O' Meat. And I think we're going to start out with the hog. So you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
You never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim and I learned who I was. A lot about living and a little about love.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hey, welcome back. You missed the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It is the weekend. Hopefully, spring has sprung where you are because it's just starting to happen here. And man, I'm getting fired up. We're talking about big chunks of meat today, Bob, but before we dive into that, I want to talk about this might be the weekend when a lot of our listeners are finally going to pull the grill out of the shed or out of the back of the garage.
I think they might be pulling it back out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, we had a little warm stint, but I just, again, make sure that you clean that thing, make sure that you test it, and it's working right, because crazy things happen over the winter. You get spiders and orifices and your grill gets plugged up. Yep. So I just want to make sure that you test this thing before you really got to perform.
I'm not so sure that more and more people, I'm pretty sure that more and more people don't even put them away anymore.
Well, I hope that's the case.
I do believe it.
Right.
I mean, I've seen the numbers on it. It's been a couple of years, but it was pretty staggering the number of people in the north part of North America grill all year long.
Right.
The number gets bigger every year, so I think as the grill technology for gas grills gets better and they're more dependable, and then, of course, with the advent of more and more charcoal grills and smokers and the popularity of smoking, which works better in the winter.
Right.
If your smoker can handle it.
Right.
So I don't know. I can't relate to putting your grill away.
Well, of course.
That sounds weird.
That's not what we do.
Sounds weird.
But there are listeners that do, And one last thing on that is just, hey, you know what? Fire it up, get it hot, burn off all the funk from the winter, and then cook on it.
Yeah,
because there could be some stuff in there.
And when you burn something dirty, when you're smoking something greasy and dirty and messy, just shut your lid and let that baby run for a while.
Right.
It cleans up real nice.
Yep,
exactly. So let's talk about some pork loin.
Okay.
And not tenderloin, the little ones, but pork loin. That's a big piece of meat. And I love doing pork loin. You and I've done them a million times, but there's also lots of people that do their own little techniques. And I don't know. Are you a fan of wrapping it in bacon? Let's say we're going to grill it first.
Okay.
Are you a fan of wrapping it in bacon?
I'm not a fan of wrapping stuff in bacon that I grill, because especially a big dense piece of meat like that. Because I always feel like I burn the bacon before the center of that big, dense piece of meat gets done. So if I'm going to wrap bacon around it, I tend to lean toward the smoker. I'm not saying it couldn't be done. You could butterfly it or something to make it thinner. But if you're putting that whole, you know, that thing's as big as a softball.
Well, let me back
right?
up. Let me back up because what I would have said is I would recommend if we do something like a loin on a grill, I would do it in an indirect fashion anyway.
Oh, okay.
I would never just put it on the burner because you're asking for trouble.
Right. Yeah, that bacon's going to get black.
Well,
and
whether
bitter
you put bacon on it or not, right. I mean, it's too big a piece. You're gonna dry it out. I think trying to grill it, it's okay to get some grill marks on it. But I'm always tempted with a loin on a gas grill to just do it indirect.
Right, and everybody knows what that is. If you've got more than one burner on your grill, you light one burner and put the meat not under that or over that burner, but off to the side of it, so that you're creating convective heat. And you're almost creating an oven on your grill, but it's still outside, so you don't have the mess and the heat and the smell inside.
And you can always get a little smoker box and put it on the grate that's burning and get some smoke on it if you like smoke. Some people don't like smoke.
Right.
Me, I do.
Yeah, right. A little smoke goes a long way with a lot of people, but you know, certain cuts of meat, you want a little bit heavier, and I think that this pork loin is one of those that can take a lot of it because, again, that thing's about the size of a softball, right, and maybe a foot long. And there's, you can put all the seasoning you want on the outside. It's never going to penetrate to the center of that thing, but the smoke will carry a little better.
You know, I think. The first pork loin I ever had smoked, the owner of Primo came up to an event we did 15, 20 years ago. His name was George, and he might have sold the company now. I'm not so sure, but wonderful man. And he smoked some loin for us on his. He had just come out with the new Oval Extra Large.
Right.
The Oval XL Primo, greatest Kamado grill made, and it's made right in Georgia. And George smoked some loin for us, and he did it perfectly. He was, you know, a Greek gentleman, and the Greeks and food, man, they're just naturals.
Oh, sure.
The guy is good. But I'm telling you, that thing was moist. He brought it up to probably 140, 150, right where he needed to be, and pulled it off, let it rest, and he started cutting slices of that loin off. And you could see the juice running out of it. And when I took my first cut, my first bite, I was blown away with the smoke penetration. Not too much, like you said, but just a beautiful hint of smoky goodness. My mouth's just watering right now. It was so good. Right. And I looked at him like, you are a god.
Right.
You're a grill god.
A grill Greek god.
And right that moment, I became a dealer for him. I said, all right, I'm doing this.
Right. So these Primos, maybe a more popular brand is the Green Egg, but their Primos are American-made, which is why we're big advocates for the Primo brand. But they're the egg-shaped ceramic grills, or Primo actually makes them a little better. They make them oval.
They patented an oval and then an extra large oval.
Right.
And that's theirs alone. The cool thing I like about that is, as well as being American-made, it you can get a lot more product on it.
Yes, you can.
It's got a tall dome, and you can get stuff lengthwise, several rows, and then you can put your racks on and build it up. But that was my first pork loin that was smoked, to my recollection, properly.
Right. So
it was good.
Let's talk about pork you don't necessarily brine, but on these big, dense pieces of meat, keeping the moisture in there is often a challenge.
The trick.
If you're cooking them too fast. So when we're talking about a pork loin that we just described, it may take 3 hours to get that thing up to that 145, 150 degree temperature in the center. Now, if the center of that piece of pork still has a little bit of pink in it, Bob, is that a problem or not?
Well, you know, you just got to check the temperature, right?
Right.
Bring it to 145. And I'm going to say a typical loin, you're going to do 275. You'll be done in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to stay on top of it. But another great way to do those is to butterfly them out, which basically means to cut it in a way lengthwise that just keeps unfurling it so that you can roll it back up and it'll look like a pinwheel.
Right.
But then you can lay in some spinach and some cheese and whatever you want, a little bit of oil, butter, bacon, whatever you want to put in the middle, some half-cooked bacon maybe,
right.
Whatever you want, and then toothpick or truss it back up and then put it indirectly, grill it that way as well. And from one reason or another, spinach in my mind turns out really nice in there. The beauty is you put some greens in there and you're adding moisture during the cook.
Right.
And it, man, if you pull it off and then wrap it up in plastic or foil as soon as you pull it off, park it for a half an hour, dude, you're going to love it. It's just going to be so good. But wrapping it as soon as you pull it, when you bring it to 145, a loin like that, wrap it up, use some of Joppy's patented aluminum foil.
and it'll keep it warm, but it also kind of steam it. And
it does.
You'll get a little, you'll get some moisture back in that thing that might otherwise evaporate out.
Well, that's right, because when a big mussel cooks like that, the moisture tends to migrate. So what you're doing as you're cooling down is you're letting the moisture, which is water, run back to where it belongs.
Right. Speaking of big mussel cooking, stick with us. We'll be back.
A little more right now. A little less what's next. Act like tomorrow's 10 years away. And just kick back and let the feeling flow. Drink a little drink, smoke a little smoke.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orange Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to TheGrillinGuys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's TheGrillinGuys.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We've been talking about big chunks of meat today, and we just covered the pork loin. Pretty popular, a great piece of meat because you can find that stuff on sale for $1.99 a pound, and you can feed a lot of people with a pork loin. And want to switch over now, maybe a little bit higher class piece of meat is a beef loin. And
yeah.
There's tenderloins and there's strip loins.
Do you still have one in your freezer?
I do.
Let's get that baby on the
grill.
Yeah,
and I've got, we'll talk about that in the last segment, but I got two backstraps out of my deer that we've not touched either.
My goodness.
And we're going to talk about the rump roast that I've got, two boneless rump roasts. We haven't touched any of that.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
So beef loin.
Beef loins.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
now.
An easy piece to mess up too.
Woo, yeah.
You got to be careful.
Right, and you're messing with a little higher dollar piece of
yes,
meat
you are.
On this one, so you might want to listen up.
It can be up to $26 a pound.
Right, depending, yeah, what kind of cow it came
yeah,
from.
Yeah, I just saw one, $26.50 a pound.
Right.
For a prime.
Right, yeah, and you can see the you can see the choice or the select. You'll see the selects around $6.99 a pound. You're eating dairy cow.
You think so?
Yeah, I've seen them, but, you know, you get what you pay for. It's like anything else in life.
But, you know, I think even an $8.99 select piece of beef loin would probably be a pretty nice piece of meat, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Can you tell I'm hungry?
Yeah. So they're going to be lean, right? Yep. This loin comes off the back of the cow, and it's all muscle up there. There's not a lot of marbling. That's when you get to the choice or even the prime, you get some marbling. But most of them are a pretty lean piece of meat.
So
what are they, about 2.5 foot long?
Yeah.
And maybe as big around as your fist.
Yeah.
Right?
So if you order one, if you just buy one, let's say at a big box store, and it's cryovac'd, one thing you're going to want to do is trim the silver skin off it.
Right.
Because it's unsightly, and it will be an unpleasant chewing experience.
Right.
So much like the tri-tips that we talked about a week or two ago.
Right.
You know, you want to trim them up. So get a good sharp knife and like whatever your trimming, paring, or boning knife, your favorite knife is.
Mm-hmm.
Sharpen it up real nice and just peel that skin off. And then I'm going to probably say I would put it kind of over a low direct fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to salt and pepper it, and I'll put some oil on it, and I'm going to put it on a real low fire and just slow roll it and keep rolling it. Roll that baby across the grill. Just keep paying attention to it.
Right.
And I'm going to bring that up to about 130 in the center, and I'm parking it.
Yep. So we've been talking about these temperatures and the critical point where you want to pull meat off, and that always leads to probably the number one tool in my barbecue box is a digital thermometer.
Right.
Whether it's a instant read that you stick in the meat or you put a probe in the meat and it's got a remote monitor that'll send you a signal to your phone, or it's just a beep.
There's so many ways to do it.
Yeah, there's so many ways to do it. But the moral of that story is do it.
ThermoPen is the brand we prefer. There's Maverick. There's lots of other knockoff, you know, Taiwanese or Chinese brands out there. ThermoPen's out of Utah. I finally put a new battery in my 5-year-old ThermoPen.
Funny you
finally
said that. I just did that last week.
Yeah.
And now that you say
wasn't
that.
Wasn't coming on.
Right. I'm like, oh, crap, it doesn't work. Oh, wait.
Well, yours is just as old as mine.
Right.
That's
yeah. Right. Yeah. And evidently we use it about the same. But yeah. Anyway, no, a very, very important tool. Now, when you're cooking the beef, if you don't have a thermometer, get one is the solution. But what you never want to do ever is cut into it to see how done it is.
Well, if you're
in
yeah,
the middle,
right? If
don't
you're doing a
do
beef
that.
Tenderloin, just even if you go and buy a cheap or take your mom's, if you're that bad, get a analog thermometer and put it in the top. That'll work too.
Right. The one with the little dial, it'll tell you.
Yeah.
And the key is
leave
like
it there.
The last quarter inch of that point is what's reading the temperature.
Yep.
So you want to get that right to the center because obviously that's where you're going to get the least heat as you move in. The outside's going to get more done than the center.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys. So it is the weekend, and we're talking about large chunks of meat. Beef tenderloin right now, I'm going to say you could, since you're grilling it, you could get a little mop sauce depending on the profile you're putting to it. And some people even marinate them.
Right.
So you could put a little mop sauce on there because it is very, very lean. You want to keep it, you know, hydrated, and you want to build up a nice patina on the outside of that. So it wouldn't hurt at all if you use something water-based and keep the oil out of it, because you'll get a flare-up if you do that.
Yeah. So any kind of a sauce, a teriyaki-based sauce.
How about just some beer and some Dales?
Yeah, Dales.
Dales works great.
Dales is good. It's salty. Be careful on Dales.
That's why I would say beer.
Right. Yeah, you got to cut it. That's where I'm going is because Dales, D-A-L-E-S, makes a marinade, and they don't have anything to do with our show other than I'm going to tell you it's a really nice sauce, but be careful with it. Taste it before you start using it because it's super salty, and you got to cut it with a nice beer or something to knock that saltiness out of there.
Right. But now, if I'm going to do a beef tenderloin, I'm probably going to get a couple of nice big loaves of garlic bread. I use Cole's garlic bread. It's made around here, and it's fantastic. And I'm going to put that up on my rack and just roast that for a while with the lid down. And then I'm going to open it up for a final. Once the butter's melted, I'm going to throw it on the grill and crisp up that buttered portion of it a little bit. and serve some nice Coles garlic bread with that.
So you're going to leave, you're going to take it out of the wrapper, but you're going to leave it as a whole loaf rather than opening it up.
Well, I'm gonna put it on my rack in the wrapper.
Okay.
And then I'm going to pull it out and finish it off on the grates.
Right, because that wrapper is plastic, but it's not super sensitive to heat. They've designed it for that. You can't put it right on the grill, but above the grill on the rack, you aren't going to shrink wrap your loaf.
Yeah, I think it's foil.
Yeah, well, check it out. Make sure. That's what I'm saying, because some of them aren't, but it's still heat resistant. You can do it that way. But, Bob, one of the things that when I think of a chunk of beef on the grill is the your sirloin roast or a chuck roast.
Oh, sirloin roast.
That we both love to use, but the sirloin is the cheap man's filet mignon.
I'm telling you, man, that's a great tasting piece of meat.
Right.
It's still one of my favorites. And I would probably throw that on the smoker and go medium smoke at about 300 degrees, depending on the size of the roast. You're going to have 2 or 3 hours getting her done.
Right.
But that's a beautiful piece. You can also get your butcher to cut you a nice 3-inch thick English cut chuck roast, and you can smoke that up as well. And that is a beautiful, beautiful piece of meat to smoke. And that's a big, dense piece. The chuck is going to have a lot of fat on it. You're gonna reduce that in your smoker beautifully. But I'll tell you what, you'll end up with, my goodness.
Yeah.
And that's cheaper than brisket.
Yeah. And a lot of those, both of those cuts, rather, the sirloin and the chuck, don't need a lot of seasoning at all. The let the meat do the work, because
you don't
a little
want
salt and pepper,
up.
Maybe a dusting of garlic, but other than that.
They have that chuck flavor to them. You don't want to.
Right.
The sirloin and the chuck roast have that real authentic beef chuck flavor, and you don't want to screw it up with a bunch of mishmash,
right?
You don't teriyaki or any silly thing like that,
right?
It's gonna taste so good that. And now with the sirloin, you're gonna want to bring that up to about 130, 135 max, but they're odd shaped pieces, so you got to be careful. You might find a tail on it or something like that, and you can trim that off early, and then that's for you and your buddies to eat at the grill while you're
waiting for the rest of it to get
done.
That's, you know what, that's the best part of grilling right there, is there's always a tail or a chunk or a piece that's left over. But coming up next, we're going to go a little bit higher on the hog. We're going to hit some pork shoulders. Stick with us. We'll be back.
O-V-E, I love it, yeah, I love it when you get that beat. Boots on, stomp your feet. It's like you've been waiting on me to move like you do. All sexy and smooth, like you love to. All girl, look at you.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6 packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob, and you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We have a bunch of fun every weekend. Hope you guys do too, and enjoy this banter that we have back and forth. And we've been talking about big old chunks of meat, and it's not a biography or an autobiography. This is all about what to do when you want to feed a bunch and you got a budget. So generally, this comes in the form of a big chunk of meat.
Yep.
And we talked about pork loins. Now we're going to go a little bit forward and talk about pork shoulders. They're often called Boston butts or pork butts, but it's really the front shoulder of the animal, right, Bob?
Yeah, it's the probably the most common used term in barbecue and the biggest joke in barbecue. Everybody has a cartoon about a butt, and the name of their barbecue team has something to do with the butt. People like to say butt. But.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. So,
but it really isn't a butt.
So a pork shoulder, your mother used to do it, right? She'd do it in a bake oven sort of thing.
I love her. Bless her heart. She's passed away, but she did not know how to do it.
No, she never
did. I know what I know. She tried, but she did exactly what you're describing.
Threw it in the oven?
Yeah.
But they weren't any good?
No.
Oh,
because they weren't flavored or they weren't seasoned, and they, you know, that was, you know, I'm 54 years old, so this was 35 years ago, right?
They didn't even have salt back then. Right.
Well, they had was salt, and then she cooked it to death because she thought it was pork, and you were going to get trichinosis.
Oh yes,
so right. Everything that was pork,
you got the sickle cell.
Right, you put the you could make shoes out of it. It was so bad. But anyway,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, I didn't grow up with a big fondness of pork like I have now.
All right. Well, so it's a huge piece of meat. It's a big chunk, real dense. Lots of jokes in there, too. But some folks don't have smokers, right?
Right.
So they're afraid of it. So here's what you do. Try this. So you buy the one that's boned, okay?
They come bone in and bone less.
Instead of getting the bone out, and then you can flop it open and kind of finish separating it and opening it up. And then you can season all that territory on it because now you got a bunch of surface. And you can throw it lightly on your grill for an hour or so. And then you can throw it in a pot and finish it off either on the grill or in your oven or whatever with a little moisture and finish it off that way. But you can get some smoky goodness, some savory, if you will, on that, and then finish it off in the oven or on your grill in an indirect fashion, wrapped in foil or whatever you like to do. If you got a pot, Dutch oven, something like that, I had to say it.
Nary a show goes by.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you still get the savory flavor.
Right.
And that's a really nice way. I accidentally found out when I had to do one and I was somewhere where I didn't have anything but a really crappy grill. Right. And, you know, sometimes that's what makes you better is when you're thrown into situations and they just look at you like, well, I know you know how to do this. Like,
right.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, for crying out loud, I didn't know Craco made a grill.
Right, yeah. So a couple things about this big hunk of pork shoulder. If you get it deboned, like Bob's describing, it is going to be opened up, creates a lot more surface area. I cover that stuff with garlic powder, not garlic salt, but a garlic powder on the inside, and then kind of put it back together. Now, when I season the outside, I usually use more of a sugar, paprika-based barbecue seasoning. But don't waste your seasoning on the fat cap, because you're going to pull that off there when you're done cooking this thing. And you're going to throw it away because nobody wants to eat that.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, if it's boned, they'll have taken most of that off anyway. So
it depends. You
won't even see much of that probably.
Yeah, it depends. I buy them in a variety of places depending on where you're at. Some of them will still have that fat cap on there. But regardless where you get them, if there's a fat cap on yours, you know, when I first started out, I would cover that thing with seasoning everywhere, right? And then I realized after I did about, you know, I'm a slow learner, about a half a dozen of them, I'm like, man, I covered that whole top where that fat cap is with seasoning. And all I'm doing, the first thing I do when I take it off the smoker after it rests a little bit, is I pull that fat cap off and throw it in the trash.
Right.
Because nobody wants to eat that.
And I always put that fat cap on the bottom if I'm doing a whole butt mm-hmm. in the smoker. I always put those on the bottom anyway because I want that fat to reduce.
Right.
And it'll get the best heat there. And I...
You mean fat down rather than fat up when
fat
you set
down,
it on the rack? On the
just
rack.
Like a brisket.
Yeah. Yep.
I just had a guy on the Facebook page ask about the brisket.
Right.
And I said, yeah, fat down always.
Right.
Because it's taking more heat there. What you're trying to do is reduce that fat.
Right. Yep. And some people will say, well, I like it on top because it drizzles through the meat. No, it doesn't. It runs off. Okay. It's not going to drop through. It's going to run off. And so I agree with you. Fat side down when I'm cooking big chunks of meat on the grill.
You
or the
didn't
smoker.
Even comment. I just said on the Facebook page.
Well, I underdid. You know what? I didn't know. Maybe you had an epiphany and you got back on Facebook.
I thought I deleted my page and I looked it up. It's still running.
Right.
So I saw all these questions on the Grilling Guys page and I thought, man, I got to keep this stupid page because we got all these people following it for the show. So I don't want to not pay attention to them.
Funny.
So I'm just not going to put the app on my phone so I don't pay attention to the personal crap in the banter.
Well, there you go.
Are you with me, Mr. Fonger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you buy a pork shoulder with the bone in, you have a built-in indicator of when this thing is done.
Pops right out.
It pops right out, yeah. What you're looking at is a shoulder blade inside of this thing, and it's a big, thin piece of bone, but it's flat and wide, almost like a moose antler, but it's a shoulder blade is what it is. And when this pork butt or pork shoulder, as it may, starts to show out of there, you're getting closer to being done. But, Bob, it's still all about temperature, isn't it? I mean, when are you pulling your pork butts? I know when I pull them, but what's your temp?
Well, if you're talking about a whole butt with the bone in or bone out, but done up, smoked up, regular, you know, intact, I'm going to pull it at 195.
Right. Now, here's the weird part about this. There's a phenomenon that happens when you're cooking pork butt on a smoker, and it's called the stall. And there's got to be a physiological reason that this happens. I don't know what that is.
It's the fluid transfer.
But at about, 140, 145, this thing will come up from a cold piece of pork up to that temperature, that 140, 145, and it just stops getting hot.
I usually notice it at about 160.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seems to be the magic number on my smoker.
Okay. So, but it'll sit there. It'll park
there. Very common problem.
Right. And then all of a sudden, how long does it usually
sit? It slingshots.
Yeah. It's like, it goes up.
You start daydreaming, and the next thing you know, it's 205, and you're done screwed it up, Jethro.
Right. Because if you get this pork butt over 200, it goes from the, you know, when you pull it, it kind of comes out in strings and in pieces. But if you get it over 200 degrees, it turns into this mealy mush.
And then you're not cooking like a real man.
Right. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man. A man, man, man. Now you're a man. A manny, manny, man. A man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
Oh, I feel like a man today. Today's man law is so pertinent for Jop and I. If you spill a man's beer, you replace that beer.
End of discussion.
You will.
There's nothing to talk about.
And
there.
Don't even act like you didn't do it.
Right.
Be a man. Replace it.
We've all done it. We've all done it. But back to the pork butt.
No, back to spilling beer.
Right. Well, I'll spill some down my gullet and a little later today. But.
You know, speaking of beer, I found...
We're not talking about pork butt
anymore.
We're
beat
all done
that,
with that.
We beat that hog. Tennessee is exploding in the microbrew business.
Okay,
it's
so
wonderful.
You're in Knoxville, if you just joined in.
Yeah.
Bob was in Knoxville this past week helping his kids move into their new home, which is exciting.
Yep.
But so where'd you...
Oh my gosh, there's some awesome beer down there. And it's from Nashville all the way to Memphis, across to... You know, Tennessee is a long state. It's like... I think 500 miles long or something.
Right. Yeah, it's laid on its side. Yeah. Not tall, but long.
I don't think
right?
it's 500. Yeah. I think it's, I don't know. It's big. It's really long. And it's only like on the east end, it's only like 140 miles deep.
Right.
So you get through it quick if you're heading south.
It's like the flat on a brisket.
But if you're going to be in Knoxville and drive to Memphis, you better pack a lunch.
Yeah.
You don't even have to. You got Nashville on the way.
Well, there's lots of places to eat lunch in Tennessee, right?
Yeah. Good beer scene, though.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit of wild game and big chunks of that, whether we're doing a venison hind quarter or what it may be, but a little bit different technique. Just listen to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us for a little bit.
I've come to know there's life in both ends, that red dirt road. Satisfaction's been our aim since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. Hey, we're going to bring this train to the station, talk a little bit about big chunks of meat all day, and we're going to finish up with a venison. The deer I shot this fall, Bob, I butchered myself, and I did it specifically because, one, I like the quality. I know what it's clean and what's not when I do it, and it just doesn't come packaged. But secondly, I was able to take the hind quarters off of both of these deer, and I deboned them, and I have them frozen as a whole rump roast, if you will, nice. Of venison.
Yep.
I've not touched either one of them yet, but, hey, no time like the present,
no,
right?
No, it's a great time to do it.
I think what I'm going to do is thaw one of these out this coming week, and then maybe next weekend we can throw one of those down and see how we do it. But my thought is on it is that, again, you're talking it's venison. It's a very lean piece of meat. It's going to be boneless, so we can pull it apart, put some moisture in there.
It's boned already?
Yes, it's already boned, and it's just in the in a bag. And I
is this a deer you processed yourself?
Yes. Yeah. Were you not listening the last minute when I opened the show?
No, I was thinking about how I would want to marinate it.
Right, and it certainly could be marinated because it can open up, and I put it back together.
I'd marinate it.
Yeah. And what? What are you thinking?
I would just buy a nice, whatever your favorite. You buy them all the time.
I do.
What's that brand? Lowry's?
Lowry's makes a bunch of them in the grocery store.
There's a bunch of them. And I would just find a nice profile that's and give it low acid. I'd give it 12 hours and something. It's dense, 20 hours, whatever you want.
Yep.
And no offense. I'm sorry. I was not paying attention.
It's all right.
I was reading an email, and I was. We're invited to the National Restaurant Show, so I was so distracted. Busted on air.
Yeah, but anyway,
marinate that baby.
But here's the thing about marinating, guys, is that you can use a lot of marinade on a big chunk of meat, but if you will try to suck the air out of a Ziploc bag or something, you'll use about a third the marinade on a big chunk of meat you might otherwise use.
Yeah.
Because if you just put it in an open container and cover it with the marinade, you're throwing away a bunch that never did anything for your piece of meat.
Well, what's those Seal-A-Meal things?
Yeah, the it's not Cryovac, but it zips the air out. I got one at home.
Yeah,
I use it all the time.
That's a great way to marinate.
Right.
Because you're creating a vacuum in there. It's just like a vacuum tumbler.
Right.
You're creating a vacuum in there, and you can marinate in half the time if you suck the moisture out of that thing.
Yeah, you have to be careful. There's settings on those because you'll fill your little vacuum tray with all the moisture. And
you got to keep the sealer up higher. Right. I set mine on a dictionary.
Yep.
It's the only use it gets in my house.
Right. Yeah. The dictionary?
Yes.
Yeah. The vac sealer's used all the time.
Vac sealer's used all the time. I ain't got nothing else.
Right.
But
dictionary, what's that?
But you put your meat down there, and then your moisture reservoir is down low, and your seal's up on top. It doesn't, and then you shut it off. You shut the vacuum part off right when you see that fluid about ready to get sucked in.
Yep.
Just kill the pump
and
hit the seal. You finish pushing it down, and it seals it. Fantastic way to do it.
Hey, Bob, our friends at Allen Bob Sports and Millbrook Tack and Trailer have joined together down there on 68th Street and 131 on the south end of Grand Rapids,
Michigan.
Quite
the place to be.
Yeah, quite the place. And they've got a big grand opening sale down there that's going on this weekend. So look them up at allenbobs.com and get down there, because there's some huge deals on sporting goods. You've been listening to Grilling Guys. We appreciate you listening in each and every week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk with you next week.